The scripture reading will be Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Thank you, Colby, for that reading. Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day to all that are fathers. This is the day that we do honor our fathers. And this is the Lord's Day in which we honor our Heavenly Father also. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 1. You can mark that. We'll be looking at that both this morning. The printer's on the blank, and I did print out one of the handouts for the scriptures this morning, but we're going to be concentrating mostly in Psalms and in Proverbs this morning. But that'll be the text this morning, Psalms 1. You know, we hear a lot of times people say, why did this have to happen? Why did this happen? How did this happen? I can't believe that this is happening to me. I've heard people say that a lot. I've heard someone say those words, in fact, this past week. Thus the lesson, how did I get here? And when the person said that, the situation, I thought about a fellow that I know in Texas who's a preacher. And he had worked with someone that was on death row. And this fellow was really a lot like us and had a background a lot like most of the folks here that had godly parents and was teaching him as he was raised up in the family to love God and to keep God's commandments and to do the right thing. And that was really his background, but he didn't do that. He rejected those things that were taught to him. He did not appeal to him. He chose a different path. And really that path ended up in the most awful consequences. He ended up murdering somebody and ended up on death row in Texas. And the first night, the first day after his conviction in prison, in the penitentiary, and he was assigned a cell, he vividly remembers that moment when the bars slammed shut. And he heard that noise, and the only reaction that he had, and the only thing that he said, he put his head in his hands, and he said that. He said, how did I get here? That moment that he realized that. My guess is that he's not the only person that ever said that. I'm sure that there have been folks that have been in marriage relationships that have been unfaithful to their wives or their husbands. And one night it all blows up, and it all comes out. And he ends up somewhere looking for a room. And he gets in the room and he shuts the door and he hears the door shut. He's there alone. How'd I get here? How'd this happen to me? I can't believe this has happened to me. I have friends that have lived lives of addiction. I have one close, very close to me, that is living a life of addiction. And I see the spiral going down the drain. I see it. It's so obvious. It's so apparent. And to see that happening. And what happens to the addict is that the appearance of everything's fine. What's happening then is eventually he's going to lose his job, his wife, his children. He hits rock bottom. He ends up in jail, dead, or rehab. And I know that the question's going to come. How did I get here? How did I end up here? Why did this happen to me? I invite you to Psalms 1 this morning because I think this psalm answers that question. I don't think that it's hypothetical that we don't know the answer to this. That this psalm actually answers that question. And if I had to summarize Psalm 1, I'd summarize it in saying that choose the right path. Let's look at Psalms chapter 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which, he said, when the wind drives away, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked, he says, will not perish. You look at that, and again, it summarizes, it really just says that I need to choose the right path. There are two choices in this psalm. Two choices. And much like what Colby read in the Sermon on the Mount, there's two choices. We've got a broad way that we choose from. We've got a narrow way that we choose from. And with those, there are consequences, I believe, that are spelled out in this psalm. Of course, they're spelled out in the Sermon on the Mount. But looking here at Psalms 1, we're told that those who choose the righteous path, like a tree planted by a stream, we know that it's going to flourish. We know it's going to be alive. We know it's going to be vibrant. We know it's going to produce fruit. And then by contrast, verse 6, the wicked is going to perish. They're not going to last. And so there are two paths. And because there's two paths, there's two outcomes. There's two results, two paths. Now, if we follow our own life, or just think about the life of somebody else, even your own life, all the complicated twists, all the complicated turns in your life, all those decisions, you know what it boils down to? It does boil down to that. It boils down to the two choices that I've made, and only two choices that I've made. And ultimately, really, folks, we're either going to choose to live for Jesus Christ or we're not. That is the two choices that you're going to have in this life, that you're living for the Lord or you're not. My guess is about everybody here has chose to live for the Lord. That's a choice that we've made. That's why we're sitting here. That's what brings folks like us together on assemblies like this, that we've come to know the path. We want to stay on that path. And really, I think that's the most relevant for probably most of us here. Teach us what that is. What the path is, how might I stay on that path of righteousness? Well, if you've been around long enough, you know that not everybody will. That's right. Most of us have been Christians for a while, know and understand that. In fact, I don't want to say this, but there's folks in this assembly right now that's not going to be faithful to death. They're going to choose the other path. They're going to go there. We know that. We've seen that historically, not just this congregation, but that's the way it is. Folks that have been walking with Jesus for many years, but somehow get off and get on the wrong path. It may be a young person, grows up here, all kinds of potential, faithful. Guess what they do? Go off to school, go off to boot camp, go off anywhere. Leave home and then suddenly they begin choosing the wrong path. One, again, might be that faithful husband with the great wife and the great family that we've already mentioned. And somewhere along the road, they veer off and they go on the wrong path. And we look at that as individuals and we say, how in the world did that happen? How could that happen? And I think somewhere lurking in that is those folks, that happened to them. And I think behind maybe some of that might be, could that happen to me? Could that happen to my family? Is that going to happen to my family? And that's really why I want us to look at Psalms 1, because I think in this psalm, in particularly verse 1, what it does is it rightly describes three choices. And I think not only are they choices, but I think they're progressive steps wherein the righteous man can see the unrighteous choices and see the results of that and see us moving in the direction that we don't want to go. And again, I think it's very clear. I don't think we have to wonder what the answer is to how did I get here? Why am I here? Why did this have to happen to me? So, if we don't want that to happen, if we don't want that to happen to us or our family, and we don't want to wake up one day, one morning, and go, how in the world did I get here? In the shape that I'm in, I think we need to take verse 1 to heart. That's where we're going to spend some of our time today. That we can look at this and carefully weigh the counsel that's given to us and take that to heart. And on a positive note, it's going to teach us how we can stay on the right path. Consider, first of all, first thing he says. I think the psalmist in verse 1 challenges us to ponder our counsel. That we need to ponder our counsel. And I think, simply put, I think he wants us to recognize what voices that we're hearing. Now, I'm not talking about the voices of dread. It's not what I'm talking about. We all hear those, don't we? All right. But immediately when I say, let's listen to the voices, what voices are we hearing? Well, probably off the bat, we're going to say our parents, our teachers, the people we work with, family, maybe brethren, might be a church leader. We hear those voices. You know, when somebody says, what voices do you hear in your life? And all my life, today, next week, or all my life, those are usually the voices that you think of. We hear a lot of those different voices. But whose voice do we really hear? Who do we hear? We hear a lot of voices. And I think if we thought about it a while, I think that we would hear more voices than just those immediate that we would think about. You read books? If you read books, you're hearing a voice. You're hearing what that author wants you to understand. And well, what kind of worldview does that author have? What's his take on some things that's not necessarily our take? All right. What religious point of view does this book that I'm reading have on me? What impact is this book having on me? Well, if you watch television, watch TV, listen to radio, you go to the movies, you watch videos on the internet, there's a message in all of those. There's a voice in all of those that they're wanting to communicate a message to you. They're not wasting their airtime, that what they're putting out there, that's not going into you. They want that into you. And I wonder sometimes, what's the message? I don't think we think about that. What's this guy trying to say to me? I mean, really, do we ever step back and say that? Or we just let it just go ahead and absorb in? We start thinking about it. We can spend all morning digging into all the ways that different voices come in, telling us how to live, how not to live, what's right, what's wrong, what we should think about, all those things. We're bombarded with that all the time. And I don't think we give it a second thought about, hey, you know what, maybe I better think about what this guy's trying to tell me. Instead of just open the door and let it all come in. What voices are you listening to? That's my question. What voices do we hear? Now, we'd like to think that we're above that kind of influence, that we have that ability to turn voices on and turn voices off. And to some extent, I believe that's true. I believe some of us do that. I think at times we're pretty intentional about who we listen to in our life. There are some people in your life that when they speak, well, you do. You turn the volume way up. You want to listen to what they have to say because of who that person is. There are some people in your life that when they speak, you know what you do? You turn the volume way down. I hope that's not me this morning for you. But I think we all have people that fall into both of those categories in our life. And we're very intentional about what we want to hear and what we don't want to hear. And again, the crowd that you run with, the friends that you run with, that volume's way up sometimes. I know that might seem aimed at young people, but really that's all people. Because I don't care how old you get, that's always there. Really, it's there. But the mistake in that is because some voices take you down the wrong path. Look at Proverbs. Man talks about that in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instructions. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. That's good counsel. Verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, he says, do not consent. Well, the wise man says to a young person, listen, turn up the volume. You need to turn up the volume and you need to listen to mom and dad a lot of times. That's good counsel. That's what he's saying. And sometimes when you run with the crowd and those folks at school, maybe sometimes you need to turn that volume down. And I think that's pretty obvious. But we need to appreciate, I think sometimes, that sometimes what we hear is a lot more subtle. I think sometimes we're hearing voices and we don't even know that we're hearing those voices. Have you been stunned like I have over the last 3 years about the moral barriers that have been brought down by homosexuality? With the subject of homosexuality? You know, we've mentioned the speed of how things are changing in this country and how those moral barriers are being brought down at such rapid pace. And I've thought about that. It's like all of a sudden, there's been this shift in our society and everything that we used to believe, we don't believe that anymore. And that happened all of a sudden, didn't it? Right? Just all of a sudden, that's how that happened. Fact is, we've been hearing voices about this change for years. Decades. Decades we've been hearing, and we turned a deaf ear to it. I'm not a TV guy, but soap. And it's a trashy show, the research I did on it, but that was the first show that did what? Had the first open homosexual character. I remember Will and Grace, and I'll tell you what, Will's the greatest guy I ever knew on TV. Will's a great guy. What's the projection? That homosexuality is just another lifestyle. That it's all right. That it's not going to be a problem. And so for years, the media has given that to us. The message was preached. And what happened? More and more characters began to be shown up, more and more. And the message preached is that it's okay. It's okay to be that. There's nothing wrong with it. And frankly, anybody that objects to that is really not just kind of some backward, ignorant, arrogant moron is really what's projected to you if you disagree with that now. So, was it all of a sudden? No. It's just changed our thinking over time. That's what happened. We heard these things in the past, and we didn't even know that we were hearing and coming to this conclusion. That serpent's wise, isn't he? That serpent is slick. I'll tell you what, folks, if we don't think like him and are wise like a serpent, look at the results. Look what's happening. What we watch, what we listen to, it has an impact on us. And it's far-reaching. Writer in Proverbs in chapter 4 says, verse 23, the wise man, he urges this, watch over your heart with all diligence. Be careful, he says, be a guardian of what you feed your mind is really what he says. He says, from it flows the issues of your life, who you are, how you live, what you say, what you do, how you think. All comes from where? From your heart. From what's in there. That's why Paul in Philippians 4:8 would urge us to do what? Think on things that are pure. Think on things that are noble. Why? Because where you put your mind and what you put your ear to, it matters. It matters in our life. If we're going to get the wrong message, I'm going to tell you something. The ultimate consequence, I'll tell you, it's going to be a corrosive effect. It's going to lead us down the wrong path, the other choice that's been given to us. You know, I don't think that's the only problem. Sometimes I don't think it's as simple as that. Sometimes the problem is just a distraction. I'll put it that way. Is your schedule full? Huh? Is your schedule full? I've asked that, and the only people that say, no, my schedule's not full is preachers and DuPonters. But understand this. While we're working at full schedule, our days are loaded with full activity, 100%, just as hard as we can go, and we need to appreciate this reality. Because our schedule is like that, and it's packed like that, when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. Yes, I'm going to do that. Yes, I'm going to listen to that. Yes, I'm going to watch that. What happens is, and appreciate that, what you're saying is no to something else. That no, that's not going to get done, or no, I'm not going to do that. All right? So you get up in the morning. You're getting ready for work. You got some time, or you don't have some time. Whatever you've got. Here it is. I'm getting ready for work. What happens? You know what I need to do? I need to turn on ESPN. And I need to let that filter in my mind while I'm getting ready for work, or whatever I need to do. All right? And that's how I really start my morning, ESPN. Or really, I got Fox News blaring as fast as I can. Because you know what? The Donald might have said something last night, and I might have missed it. And I need to know what the Donald said before I get to work. I meant that as a tacky comment. But understand the choice. All right? Now, of necessity, I've made a choice. I've decided to listen to ESPN or the Donald or Fox News. Now, out of that, now what that means is that you're not going to listen to somebody talk about Scripture. You're not going to listen to a daily Bible reading. You're not going to do that. You're not going to fill that time with those things. You've made that choice. Now, I didn't say that to make you feel guilty for listening to ESPN or Fox News. That's not what I'm saying. But you know what? If that's how the choice always goes down, if that's the choice every morning, all right, If I do that every morning, I get in the car, I turn the radio on, do the same thing. At lunch break, I've got the same thing blaring, or a different thing that I listen to every day. I go home in the car, I'm listening to the same thing. I get home, TV, internet, videos, Facebook, all of those things. If that's my choice all the time, folks, God isn't being heard. You're not listening to God. Because you've said yes to all these other things in your life, if that's how it always shakes out, I promise you, you're not listening to God. It's not happening. You with me on that? You agree with that? Makes sense, doesn't it? Psalms chapter 1. Again, there's two things. There's contrast in verse 1 and 2 I want you to look at. He says, how blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. But verse 2 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. He adds in this, he meditates on the law day and night. That's what he says about that. You see that there? And say it another way, the righteous man hears God. The righteous man takes the time to hear God. He lets God speak. And I would say to us this morning, if we want to stay on the right path, that's essential. That's essential. You make a conscious choice not to allow God to speak. And to stay on the right path, it is essential that we allow God to speak in our lives every day. And really, let's dig down there where it counts. How do you do that? How do we do that? Do you take time off of your day to spend time with God? Do you? I mean, you just really have to go there. Quiet moment with God and let God speak. Do you do it? I would love to hear somebody in a conversation in this camp say, I'll tell you what, you know what, I got to reading this and my time with God Thursday that I always take. What do you think about this? I got to tell you about my experience that I had with my alone time with God. Never heard those conversations. I hear a lot of ESPN. I hear a lot of Donald Trump. I hear a lot of them. Earlier, when I was preacher, I tried to tell people. I tried very hard to tell people what movies to watch, what shows to go to, what TV programs to watch. I gave up on that because it don't do any good. But we ought to be making some better choices about what we do with our time and what we're listening to and saying yes to, because we're saying no to God. Aren't there just some things that I can eliminate in my life? Unplug. Get out. Stop watching. Stop listening to. Tune out. Pull out of my life. Because frankly, if that's all I'm listening to, I'm going down the wrong path. And there's only two of them. If I'm going to stay on the right path, I need to hear His voice. I need to do that. And by contrast, if I'm not listening to Him, folks, I'm going down the wrong path. I'm going down the wrong path. And I'll tell you, ultimately, for that path, we're going to wake up. How did I get here? How did I get here? We ought not to be surprised when we get there. If that's all we have in put in our life, the voices that we hear. Secondly, I think in Psalms 1, he thinks about the course. He says course. I think he wants us to think about the course. And when I say that, really, he's just saying, what kind of life do you want? He asks that question. What life do you want? What life do you really want in this life? And he poses that, and I think the sinner's life, and I say that because the sinner's life is very appealing. And Moses decided not to enjoy the sinner's life for a while, but go with God's people. Remember that? And you know what? I think all of us have seen snapshots of sin. All right? We see them all the time, especially in the advertisements. Okay? We see those snapshots of sin. And what we see is, and when we see the snapshots of sin, that picture that they want us to think about sin, when we see that, what it does, it's like, are you kidding me? Look at these guys. Everything that the psalmist is saying in Psalms 1, that's not right. The righteous man doesn't have the advantage. Look at these people. They're having a blast. They're having fun with this. This isn't this isn't the truth. In Psalm 73, Asaph had that problem. I'll just read a couple of verses from Psalm 73. That was his problem. He thinks the wicked has all the fun. All right? Has all the advantage. He's missing out on all the fun. Verse 3, Psalm 73. For I was envious of the arrogant, as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, and their body's fat. They're not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like all mankind. They don't have the problems, man. If you're living that life, it's great. And you know what? I'll tell you, there are disciples of Christ that have believed that lie. And they look at that snapshot and they believe it. They see the pictures on Facebook of their friends. And they're all at the bar. They're all kicked back playing pool. It's a big time. They all got a beer. They're all laughing. And they're looking at that picture and they're saying, I'm missing out. This is the life. And I've got friends that's got boats and drink and it's just on another level. You know what I mean? When you ever going to come on a boat ride? Whenever you, hey man, come on party with us. It never ends. And that snapshot that I see on Facebook of my friends with their yachts bigger than this building. Come on, Dorton, come on. Party hardy. And I look at that picture and I think, those guys are having a blast. I mean, I'm just Sandy Hook down here, conservative USA.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. I want to tell you something. Choosing those choices of the drinking crowd, that's a bad choice. That's a very bad choice. And I've had conversations with people that have made that choice. And I'll tell you something. Talk about social drinking. Peter says that's wrong. Drinking's wrong. Being drunk's wrong. And you know, I've talked to more of my share of folks in that situation. And what happens is, the guy that's into that, how far do you think those discussions are going to go? If he's already convinced that that is the life, that I'm not going to miss out, well, it's not going to go very far. And the conversations have been like this. You know what? Can you show me in the Bible where it says, thou shalt not drink? Can you do that? And you know why it's framed that way? Because really you can, but you can't. It's kind of like gambling. We've had to talk to people that had gambling problems. You want to show me in the Bible where it says thou shalt not gamble? No, that's not in there. But there's principles in there that violate everything there is about gambling, including stealing from your neighbor. But you know what? If your mind is set up on living that life and doing that and not missing out on all the fun, all the talk in the world's not going to change you. You're not interested in repenting. You're just interested in justifying what you're doing. And then really it gets to the point that you don't even care if you justify what you're doing. What the Bible says isn't the problem. The problem is you really want that life. And that's what the psalmist asks. You need to decide what life you want. There's only two. Which life do you want? The battle with temptation is already lost, really, if that's where I am. If I'm asking those questions. And I think it's a critical question. I need to ask, which life do I want? Am I looking at the path that the righteous man takes, or am I looking at the path longingly that the unrighteous have taken, and I'm getting those snapshots of, I'm missing the life. This is the life for me. I've got to have this. This is what I want. Because I tell you what, when you make the choices of the righteous, you're going to ask different questions. Me doing this get me to heaven? Would God be pleased with me if I put myself in this situation? You think God's stamp of approval is going to be on me being here and doing this with these people? Do you see the difference in, hey, prove to me where it's wrong? Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference in the attitude? There's a person that's already chose the path he wants to go on. By the way, we can just apply all those to alcohol, again, anything you want to apply it to. Answer those questions. I think lost in all of this is trust. We've been talking a little bit about faith and trust in God. I think we need to trust God to see past the snapshot. We need to trust God in seeing past those Facebook posts. And the lies that our friends say, how glorious the sinner's life is. Folks, I need to trust God that what He said about all of that is true. That it leads to nothing. Verse 4, the wicked is like chaff. And there's the contrast with the solid tree, the vibrant tree that lives. The wicked is not going to stand on judgment. That life will not hold up on the judgment day. The way of the wicked will what? Perish. Now I need to trust God in that. If that's all that gets me past that snapshot of sin, folks, I need to trust God in that. By the way, that is not the life that I want. I want to stay on the right path. 1 John. We've been looking at 1 John, chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, He Himself is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Entangled in that word if is desire. Folks, you've got to want to walk in the path. You've got to want to trust God. He'll do everything He says in this verse if you desire to be so. If you desire the righteous life, if you desire the righteous path, I'll tell you, if you're looking at the sinner's life and you're convinced that that's the good life, if you're not there right now, I can promise you, you'll be there tomorrow. Because if that's the life that's appealing to you, you want that life, there's no stopping you. You've made up your mind, that's it, and that's what this is all about. Good luck. Good luck in that. I think we need to know what my course is. I think we need to know what this life is all about. I think we need to make decisions about this life. Which way am I going with it? Finally, I think he says, I think we need to look at the crowd. In verse 1, Psalms 1. Look at the crowd. And I think it's just, who's in my crowd? Verse 1. The blessed man does not sit in the seat of scoffers. Well, I looked at that word this week. Scoffers. Pretty easy to define, I thought. And it's not hard to figure out. Here's a guy that's not only living the unrighteous life, but he's making fun of those that are not living the righteous life. And again, I've said that doesn't end as you even get older. He has contempt for God. He has contempt for God's path. He has contempt for God's people that are trying to walk in the path. Jeff, Christian, how's that working out for you? How's that going for you again? You doing good? Really a fun life. Being a Christian, isn't it? Fun. Have anybody like that? That's a scoffer in your life. Huh? You got friends that are scoffers in your life? I think most of us do. I mentioned that because in the beginning, I mentioned that there, I thought, was a progression in Psalms verse 1, chapter 1. And I want you to look at it. Do you see it there? How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the path of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers. The idea is there that, yeah, we're walking, then we're standing, then we're sitting. And the idea is that you become comfortable with what's happening to you. You've decided to walk a different path, and now you're sitting with scoffers. Do you know anybody that used to be a member of the Lord's church that was a Christian that stood shoulder to shoulder with you in your fight for truth and right? I do. That now scoffs at what I believe in? I do. You still believe that stuff? You're even preaching that stuff. You teach that? You're living that life? Really? Really? And they scoff at you. But what happens here is that's the progression. You start going down that path, and folks that you never dreamed would be off the path are making fun of the path that you're on. You become scoffers. Folks, relationships matter. In my life, if I tie myself up with people that are traveling in the wrong direction, I'll tell you what all this progression means. There's momentum there. You're walking one day, then you're standing, then you're sitting with the scoffers. There's a progression there that takes place in the life of the one that's chosen the unrighteous path. And it's kind of like just the momentum follows. And I think all of us have seen that happen. The door gets open and there's just momentum. It's like those guys climb mountains. I never have done that. I've done a lot of wild things, but I never was a mountain climber. And I, you know, if somebody is, tell me after services, why do they tie each other up? And the guy up there, he's leading, he falls. Everybody just falls. I don't want to be tied to anybody. But it's just a matter of time. When you see that guy going, it's like, here's the rope. And as soon as it gets tight, you're going to. And that's the idea of the momentum that happens when we choose the wrong path, when we get with the wrong people, when we get with the wrong crowd, and then we begin doubting ourselves, doubting our faith, doubting our righteousness, and not trusting God that what He said is true. That's exactly what happens when we put ourselves in the wrong crowd. It creates momentum in the wrong direction. But I can turn over and say the opposite as well, can I? You know what? If we're with the right crowd, do you know that creates momentum in the right direction? And that's why we're assembled like we are. That's why we're here like we are. Besides the worship of God, remember His Son, it really creates positive momentum. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to see that. That's why we have classes. That's why we're together. That's why we open God's Word. But here's the problem with gatherings like this. For those that are leaning toward the other path, I don't always like what I hear here. I don't always like what's brought out in classes about me. I don't like always what is being taught about what's going on in my life. How many times have you listened and sat here and listened to classes and sermons and wait a minute, I'm uncomfortable with that. That doesn't make me feel too good. You know why? Because we don't preach the status quo here. We don't teach the status quo here. It's not that we don't want you to be happy about it, but I'll tell you what, being a Christian, all of that, it's challenging. And it's a growing thing that we're into here. And that's going to require some bumps along the way. I hope a lot of times when you come here, you go away feeling a little bit uncomfortable with the status quo. That's why we're here. I think that's what it's all about. Sometimes even worse, though. Sometimes you got brethren that look at you point blank and say, "Why don't you come to church? Why aren't you faithful? Why aren't you here?" And there's no excuse. You're going down the wrong path. What's going on in your life that you need to change? You need to change that. And no, you know what? Nobody likes to hear that. That's why we don't come every time. We can just take it once a week. That's all we can take, a lot of us. Why is that? You know, it's like the person that we referred to that's having marital problems. You know what you're going to hear here? You need to get home. You need to work on this. You need to straighten this out. You need to work on your marriage because I'm telling you, one man for one woman, all of your life, that's God's command. You going to listen to that voice? Or how about the guy at work that says, "Man, you deserve to be happy. Dump her. Don't put up with that." Whose voice you're going to hear? Look again, verse 6, the last phrase. "The way of the wicked will perish." If that's where they're going, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I don't want their counsel. I don't want to be in that crowd. That's not where I want to go. I want to be with people in my life that tell me what I need to hear. Folks, that's here. I promise you, you're going to hear what you need to hear here. Not necessarily what you want to hear all the time, but you're going to hear what you need to hear. Psalm 141. I want to look at David's spirit. This is the last text. Psalm 141. Notice the first verse, first four or five verses. "Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call you. May my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline," he says, "do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice deeds of the wickedness with men who do iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies." Don't you look at that. Don't let me be with that crowd. Don't let me partake of their delicacies. Don't give me what they're giving. I don't want that. Verse 5. "Let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. It is oil upon the head. Do not let my head refuse it, for still my prayers is against their wicked deeds." God, don't let me go with that crowd. That's what David's saying. Don't let me go with that crowd, do the wrong thing. Just the opposite. Let the good folks, let those that are on the good path, the righteous, let them smite me with their kindness. And really the faithful wounds of a friend. Remember that proverb? That's what he's talking about. I need to surround myself with people that's going to help me stay on the right path. That's what he says in verse 1. Because if I surround myself with the other crowd, folks, I'm going to be going down the wrong path. There's only two choices, brethren. Just two. Psalms 1 spells that out. It's abundantly clear on that point. Either we walk with Jesus or we walk another path. That's it. I know that when I started this, you knew where this was all going up to. We need to decide which path we're on this morning. And we have two choices. Which path are you on? I would ask you that you search your heart diligently and be honest with yourself. And come to the right conclusion which path you are on. Because if you're on the wrong path, there are good brethren here that will help you get on the right path and stay with you. We want you to go to heaven. That's why we're here. That's what this assembly is about. If I'm on the right path, I need to know that. If I'm on the wrong path, I need to make changes. A lot of changes in my life because they'll perish on that path. The wrong direction. This morning, he looks down on this gathering with love in his heart. And he's anxious for those that are on the wrong path to repent of their sins. The gospel is this. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. The gospel is also this. If you repent of your sins and ask God to pray and you ask God in your prayer to forgive you, He will. He'll set you on the right path. Please come. As together we stand and sing.